In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, Holy Mother Church resumes the lesson of St. Paul. The spiritual life, the life produced in our souls by the Holy Spirit, in place of the former life of the flesh, this is still the subject of the Apostles' teaching. When our flesh has been subdued, we must take care and not suppose that the structure of our perfection has been completed. Not only must the combat be kept up after the victory, under penalty of losing all we've won, but we must also be on our guard, unless one or other of the heads of that triple concupiscence, the lust of the flesh, greed, and the vice of the pride, come against us. There is always the danger that one of these may take advantage of the soul's efforts and raise itself against us and sting us all the more terribly, because it is left to do just as it pleases. The Apostle warns us here of vainglory, for vainglory is more than other enemies and in a menacing attitude, always ready to infuse its subtle poison, even into acts of humility and penance. Therefore, the Christian who desires to serve God and not his own gratification by the virtues he practices must keep up an especially active vigilance over this passion. Just let us think for a moment on the insanity of that man who would be guilty of who, after having his sentence of death commuted to a severe flogging, would take pride in the stripes left on his body by the whip. It would seem that far from being impossible, this is a real danger. For the Apostle, immediately after telling us to mortify the flesh, bids us to be on our guard against vainglory. Think of the wisdom against vainglory gained by the ancient Israelites, and the remedy that God sent them. In the book of Numbers, in this book, we see the Israelites complaining of their sufferings in the desert and the monotony of eating the manna dropped from heaven daily by the Lord. In punishment, snakes are sent by God. The bite of these snakes is extremely painful. It fills the victims with a sensation of burning, violent heat, that many of those that are bitten succumb to the venom flooding their veins and die. Moses, though praying for them, receives instruction from the Lord, and he builds a brass serpent and hoists it up upon a pole. The victims of the snake bites receive their healing in gazing upon this brass serpent. Holy Mother Church has always seen this historical episode, a figure of our Lord, who, being lifted up from the earth on the Holy Cross, heals and strengthens those who put their trust in him and who do not take their eyes off of him, even in the midst of suffering. And we could see, of course, this layer of meaning as well. It is not in resisting that which gives us pain, but in accepting it and bearing it in a virile manner, after the example of our Lord, that we will ultimately be made stronger and win our spiritual combat. Let us begin to embrace the cross by means of a greater and greater mortification and penance, but always in a spirit of moderation, discretion, and modesty. Let us voluntarily humble ourselves at the sight of our miseries. The ancient philosophers, they too had their maxims about the restraint of the senses, but many of them who practiced their austerities allowed this to inflate their pride. And it could not have been otherwise, because they were totally devoid of anything like the sentiments which moved our fathers in the faith. When they wore sackcloth and ashes and prostrated themselves on the ground, they cried out from the heartfelt conviction of the miseries of human nature, "Have mercy on me, God. Have mercy on me, according to thy great mercy. For I was conceived in iniquities. My sin is always before me." If, on the contrary, we would have some unmistakable sign, which is quite compatible with the obscurities of faith, if we had some sign that we really were in possession of divine union, let us not take occasion from the sight of the defects of other people to be puffed up with pride, rather from the consideration of our own misery. Let us be indulgent, compassionate, and understanding towards our errant neighbors, our neighbors who are not always strong as we would hope that they would be. Let us give others a helping hand. Let us bear one another's burdens along the road of life. And then, having fulfilled the law of Christ, we shall know that we abide in him and he in us. St. John takes these words, which were made use of by our Lord to express the future intimacy that he would have with whoever would eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood in Holy Communion. St. John uses these words in his epistles. Let us mark the deep mystery of this application of these words. St. John applies them to whoever in the Holy Ghost observes the great commandment of loving his neighbor, because he will truly be able to be of service to his neighbor. He will be able to say with our Lord, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.